how to know that you're saved. How to know that you're saved. A lot of people ask that question. How can I know that I'm saved? I like to say that salvation is a no-so salvation. When you're saved, you know it. You know you're saved. So salvation is all about knowing that you're saved. Yet I've heard a lot of people today, they walk around and they say, well, so-and-so got saved, they just didn't know it. What? What? Huh? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. The Bible says that being saved is like two different things. It's like being married. When you're saved, it's like you're married to Christ. Well, who got married and they didn't know it? Now, if you're married and you're watching this, I'll guarantee one thing. You know your wife, and you know who she is, and you know you're married. Or you know your husband, you know his name, you know who he is. So you know that you're married. It's also like being born. It's a spiritual birth. When we get saved, we're born again. Well, nobody walks around saying, well, I wonder if I ever got born. Am I born? Am I even here? Am I born? When you're born, you know it. So when you're saved, you know it. There shouldn't be any doubt that you're saved or not. And yet many people today in Christianity say, well, how do I know if I'm saved? And many of them worry about it, which is good. You should wonder. If you don't know, you need to know. And so that's what this message is about today. How can you know that you're saved? I'm going to start with John, 1 John, that is. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Because the Bible teaches what I like to call a no-so salvation. A Bible teaches that you can be saved and know that you're saved. Unfortunately, there are some denominations that say, oh, you can never know if you're saved or not until you die. But that's not what the Bible says. And this verse is a case in point. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now watch this. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So the Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. These things, the Bible is written so that we may know that we have eternal life or not. So the answer is yes, you can know that you're saved. And salvation, that's what it is. It's knowledge. It's knowing something and believing what you know. Well, what is that? Well, let's look at a couple more verses about this. Salvation being knowledge. Salvation is by knowledge. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. And in 1 Timothy 2:4, the Bible tells us this. 1 Timothy 2:4. Speaking about Jesus Christ, the Savior, verse 3. Verse 4 says, who will have all men to be saved. God wants everybody to get saved. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So to be saved, there has to be some knowledge there. You have to understand something. You have to know something. And you can't know you're saved until you know the knowledge of how to get saved or how to be saved. You know, many people in Christianity today, they don't understand that. And so they preach what I like to call the bloodless gospel. If you get a chance, go to the Cloud Church, look up past sermons, the bloodless gospel. And they go around and tell people, well, just do this and repeat this prayer after me. And then they tell the person, well, you're saved because you repeated this prayer after me. And so they tell that person that the prayer saves. Is that what the Bible teaches? No, prayer saves no one. What saves is Jesus Christ. And what saves is faith in the gospel. So you have to know the gospel before you can get saved. And I've met tons of people that have told me over the years, well, I thought I was saved for years, but then I realized I was just trusting in my prayer rather than trusting in what Jesus Christ did for me. And so that's a problem. Now, I'm not against prayer. Actually, you can say a prayer at the very moment you get saved. But it's not the prayer itself that saves you. First, there has to be some knowledge, some understanding, and then you have to know what to believe in. Look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, and it's Paul talking to a young man who got saved through his ministry. And it says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So there's some knowledge involved when it comes to salvation. That's why the question is, how to know if you're saved? Well, you need to know. And how can you know? Well, you have to have some knowledge. Where does the knowledge come from to where we know that we're saved? Right here it says, through the Holy Scriptures. Now let's go to Luke chapter 1. Another good verse. So in Luke chapter 1 and verse 76 and 77, the Bible says, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, and to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Now, it's talking about here John the Baptist, and of course, John the Baptist was the precursor to Jesus. And so when John the Baptist went, he went and he was preaching to the Jews. We looked at a couple sermons ago in the Cloud Church, the difference between the ministry of Jesus and Paul. But I thought it was interesting, it says to give knowledge of salvation. So salvation is through knowledge, through knowing something and the believing what it is that you know. And what is it that you must know? Well, first of all, you need to know that you're lost. You know, the problem with the world today is a lot of people don't understand what it means to be saved. To be saved means your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven when you die. To be lost means you're going to hell and you're on your way to hell. So which is it in your life? When did you realize that you're lost? A lot of people like to go around and they say, hey man, are you saved? Are you saved? A lot of Christians like to ask people that question, especially lost people. Hey, are you saved? When did you get saved? But a lot of things I've found a lot of times is that people don't know what that means. I had a cousin one time and I asked him, I said, hey cousin, when did you get saved? And my cousin in Oklahoma, he says, well, I'm a pilot and I was flying an airplane. And man, it was scary. I was running out of gas and I had to call a mayday and I brought the plane down. And man, I just, wow, God saved me that day. I said, do you know what I'm asking when I'm asking, when did you get saved? That sounds like you feel that God saved your life and kept you from dying. He goes, yeah, that's the day I got saved. God saved me from dying that day. I said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I want to know, when did you get saved spiritually, not physically? When did God save your soul? And he looked at me like, blink, blink, like an owl, you know? Blink, what does that mean? So you see, when you go around and you ask people, are you saved? If they're lost, they don't know what it means to be saved. So I found it's a lot easier to go around and say, hey man, when did you realize you were lost? When did you get lost? Instead of saying, hey, when did you get saved? Hey, when did you get lost? And they go, what do you mean, get lost? Well, do you realize that you're lost and on your way to hell right now without Jesus Christ? Do you realize if you don't trust Jesus Christ and His shed blood and the gospel that you're going to go to hell when you die? And they go, oh, I didn't realize that. And oftentimes people don't realize that they're lost. So before you can get saved, there must be a knowledge and there must be a time in your life when you realize, man, I'm lost and I need to be saved spiritually. Well, you also need to know that salvation is not by works, but by faith. There are a lot of people in Christianity today that think, well, if my good works outweigh my bad works, and these are my good works, then maybe God will accept me and I'll go to heaven when I die. And so their knowledge is, well, if God can accept me by what I do, so if I do good, maybe I'll make it to heaven. Is that what the Bible teaches? That we get to heaven based upon what we do? 1,000 times no. The Bible teaches that we get to heaven based upon what Jesus Christ did, and it's all by faith. See, if you're thinking that you can get to heaven based upon your works, then you're trusting in yourself. You're trusting in what you do rather than what Jesus Christ did for you. So in Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9, Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9, the Bible is very, very clear on this point. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, the cross of Calvary was all about the Savior dying for our sins. Before that, there was the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, yeah, there were a lot of works that you had to do. One of them was, if you sinned, you had to take a lamb for your sin. You know, that took some effort. That took some work because the sinner actually had to take the knife and cut the throat of the lamb for the priest to catch it. So we have an Old Testament where, yeah, there's some works involved. You want to go to the Cloud Church and look up past sermons. Look up the ones entitled Works versus Grace and how we're saved by faith today in the church age, not by works. Also have one called The Law versus Grace. That's a good sermon as well that you need to go to and see. So salvation, before you can be saved, you have to know that you're lost. Before you can be saved, you have to know that salvation is not by what you do. A lot of people today think, well, I got to do right, and if I do right, then God will accept me. Where do they get that from? It's not from the Scriptures. The Scripture says you are not saved of works, lest any man should boast. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. And that's what's so sad, is that many people claim to be Christians and they don't even know what it is to be a Christian. What's a Christian? Someone who follows Christ. Why? Because Christ saves us. We can't save ourselves. If you claim to be a Christian and yet you think you can get to heaven by your own works, you're not following Christ. You're trying to do it your way. You're trying to get to heaven based upon what you do rather than what Jesus did for you. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." Here Paul is speaking as a Christian, a saved man, writing to saved people. And he says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us." So it's by grace that we're saved. It's not by works that we do that gets us saved. It's by the work of Jesus Christ. What I like to call the finished work of Jesus Christ. What He did on the cross for us in our place. Let's go to Romans chapter 4 just to reiterate this point. Because most Christians, I hate to say it, but so many Christians today are lost. Because in their eyes, Christianity is all about me doing good works for God to accept me. Well, if that's the case, then why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? If we can do good works and get to heaven on our good works, then why did He die? Kind of pointless, wasn't it, for Him to die on the cross for the sins of the whole world if we can get to heaven our own way without going through what He did for us? Christianity is kind of pointless. Jesus is nothing, and we're everything if salvation's by our works. But you see, we're nothing, the Bible teaches, and Jesus is everything because our works are the work of a sinner. All our righteousnesses, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. And we can't, in our own sinful way, get to heaven. We have to have our sins washed away before we can get there. I don't care how many baths you take, you'll never be able to bathe all your sins away. Only the blood of Jesus can wash our sins away. And so that's why salvation isn't by our works and what we do. It's by what Jesus did for us, because He paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Romans chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So it's not for him that's working. We don't get God's righteousness by our works. What does it say? Verse 6, "Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." We call this the doctrine of imputation. If you get a chance, go to the Cloud Church, look under my past sermons about what the Bible says about imputation. Also another good one, justification, salvation. It's God imputing His righteousness to us through faith. Not through what we do, but through trusting in what He did for us. It says, verse 7, "Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." So if you can get to heaven based upon your works, then Jesus died for nothing on the cross. Because you're good enough to get to heaven. Well, the problem is, no one's ever good enough to get to heaven. One sin is all it takes for God to say, "Nope, don't ever want you to come in here." So if you sin once, too bad. How do you get rid of that sin? I don't care how many times you flagellate yourself, or how many times you whip yourself, or how many times you try to make up for that sin, you're still a sinner, and no sinner will be allowed into heaven. So you got a problem. You can live your whole life doing good works and hoping God will accept that, but you're still a dirty, low-down, sorry, good-for-nothing rascal, and a sinner that God will never accept. So there's only one way that you can have those sins washed away and be accepted by God. How is that? Through the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, if you get a chance, go to the Cloud Church, look at past sermons, and check out the sermon on the blood atonement. That's such a good sermon to show that it's only through the death of Christ, the burial, and the resurrection, what Jesus did, that we can have our sins forgiven. And it's all based upon His work, not our works. So we're not saved by works. We're saved by faith. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. There are still some people today that completely ignore Jesus Christ. And they completely ignore what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so they're back over here thinking, "Well, I can get to heaven by keeping the law." What's the Bible say about that? Galatians 2:16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." So however good a person you are, and however wonderful you are in keeping the law, too bad, so sad, the works of the law cannot justify you. Because we know, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Do you know that? You know, you can't know you're saved until you know that you can't get to heaven by your works. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Do you know that? When you know that, then you realize, well, that can't save me. What can? Oh, Jesus can, because Jesus died and shed his blood. So what does a person need to know to be saved? First, they need to know they're lost. Next, they need to know that salvation isn't by what they do. Salvation is only through faith. Now, the question is, faith in what? Well, we'll get to that in a second. But the answer is faith in the gospel. And we're going to look at what the gospel is. Let me quote a verse real quick. This verse is Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, one of my favorite verses. In Romans 10, 17 says, faith, let me make sure I quote it correctly. I hate to misquote things. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right? To get saved, first you have to know you're lost. Next, you have to know that salvation is by faith alone and not by works. Well, faith is what saves us then. And then faith cometh by what? How do we get faith? Does faith just, boom, pop on us and we're like, wow, I'm saved now. I didn't even know it. No, I'm not a Calvinist. That's what Calvinists believe, though. Against your will, one day, God just goes, boom, and you're saved. You're just like, wow, I'm saved now. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to hear from the Bible how to be saved in order to be saved. And so that's why the Word of God is so important. It's what makes us wise unto salvation. So what does the Bible tell us to put our faith in? Well, the answer is the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. Now, this video is for saved people and lost people. Maybe you're a person that claims to be a Christian, but you say, well, I doubt my salvation all the time, and I wonder if I'm saved. And maybe you clicked on this video because you just want to know how to know that you're saved. Well, this video should help you. But if you're lost, this video will help you as well to know how to be saved. And maybe you're watching this and it's true, you're lost. You've never come to a time in your life when you realized you were lost. You never understood that salvation was by grace through faith. Well, here is for you. This is what you need to hear. Faith comes by hearing, hear by the Word of God. You need to hear the gospel. Now, the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And the Bible tells us this. Moreover, brethren, so Paul is writing to people who are saved. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Verse 2. So this is how we get saved. We are saved through the gospel. I'll spell the word through wrong. We're saved through the gospel by faith in it. So it's faith in the gospel that saves us. Now, how can a person have faith in the gospel if they've never heard it? I told you earlier, I like to ask people, when did you get lost? I also like to ask people, when was the very first time in your life when you ever heard the gospel? Because you're saved by the gospel. Well, how can you be saved by the gospel if you've never heard it? So there must be a time in your life when someone for the very first time preached to you the gospel that I'm about to preach right here. Think about it. When was the first time you ever heard this? A lot of people never heard this gospel. It says here in verse 2, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. What is vain? Well, we get the word vanity from vain. It comes from self. A lot of people are trusting in themselves rather than the gospel. And it says in verse 3 what the gospel is. It says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So the gospel is Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, died in my place for my sins. Now, I don't know anybody else that did that for me. God chose, and notice that important word, how. It's not just that Christ died for our sins, it's how. How did he do it? How did Jesus Christ die for our sins? By shedding his precious blood. In the Old Testament, to be forgiven of sins, you had to have a blood sacrifice. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. God does not forgive sins without blood being shed. And here Jesus Christ came, and he died on the cross, and he shed his blood to show you, I love you so much, I want to die in your place for your sins. So it's like God in heaven, instead of grabbing you and throwing you straight into hell and making you pay for your sins, he allowed Jesus Christ to take your sins upon himself, and God said, and cast out all his anger and wrath on Jesus for every evil thing that you ever did. And he did all that so that if you trust the gospel, that you don't have to go to hell because Jesus paid for your sins in your place. Now, wow. Now, that's what's so amazing about the gospel. You see, you can either do it yourself and do good works and think I deserve to get to heaven and then die and go to heaven. And God says you don't deserve anything. Go straight to hell, you sinner, because you rejected what I did for you. Or you can come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. So I trust you and I trust the gospel. And God says, that'll do it. You're saved because you trust what I did for you, not what you do to get to heaven. The problem with many people today is they want to be their own savior. They want to say, well, I can get to heaven because of what I do, so I'm going to do right, and it's all about me. And that spits in the face of Jesus Christ, who came and loved the world so much that he died for the sins of the world, you included. So what are you going to do? Are you going to spit in Jesus' face and say, I don't want that? Or are you going to say, you know what? I've got some knowledge now that according to the Bible, I'm a sinner and I can't save myself and that salvation's only by faith in the gospel. I'm going to trust that gospel of salvation. Well, that's how you know you're saved. You know you're saved because Jesus did the saying. You see, a lot of people that live on this side, they can never know that they're saved because they never know if they did good enough works to get to heaven. And so they're always thinking, I hope God accepts what I did. Well, you'll never know till you die and stand at the judgment. And according to the authority of the Word of God, Jesus Christ will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not. I never knew you. Because you were trying to get to heaven based upon what you do. And you did nothing with what I did for you to save you. And that's the problem with many Christians today. They want to save themselves. They don't want to come to Jesus. And they want to live in a perpetual state of, well, I don't know. I was in Honduras as a missionary, and I went to a Catholic church. And I don't know why, I just marched right in, knocked on the door, and said, hey, Mr. Priest, I want to ask you some questions. And the priest said, well, come on in. And so I sat down in this priest's living area next to the church. And I said, Mr. Priest, I said, I'm an independent Baptist minister. And that's what I was, I'm an ordained independent Baptist minister. I said, Mr. Priest, I want to ask you one question. And I said, all I ask is that you answer me this question from the Bible. And he looked at me, and he was already like, I said, my one question is, how do you know that you're saved? I said, let me rephrase that question. Is it possible that a person can know that they're saved and on their way to heaven? And that priest looked down for a second, kind of went like this. He looked at me and goes, mira, su pregunta es locura, he said to me. Which means, translated, look, your question is foolishness. He said to me, nobody can know if they're saved until they die. I said, let me show you a Bible verse, Mr. Priest. He goes, no, no, I don't want to talk to you anymore. You leave. I said, no. I'd like to show you one verse. And I showed him 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. I said, the Bible just says you can know that you have eternal life, and you told me nobody can know that they're saved. I said, what's the problem? Here you are a leader of this church, of all these people that come here, and where are you leading them? You don't even know yourself where you're leading these people, because you don't know where you're going when you die. I said, I'd like to tell you something. I know where I'm going when I die. The Bible tells me that if I trust the gospel, that I'm saved. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I know where I'm going. By the authority of the Word of God, I have a mansion in heaven of pure gold, the Bible tells me. I said, sir, I know where I'm going when I die. I said, I wish you'd know. Would you like to know? He said, get out. I said, okay, thank you for your time. And I walked out. But how sad that priests and preachers and bishops and so-called missionaries and evangelists in this world are preaching the works gospel of, oh, do these good things, do these good things, do these good things, and they don't preach the gospel of Christ. And if you ask them straight up, do you know you're saved? Their answer is, well, nobody can know until they die. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches a know-so salvation. You can be saved and know it. Well, how do you know? Well, first you have to know when you were lost. When was the first time you realized, hey, my works can't save me? It doesn't matter how good or how bad I am. I'll never be good enough to get to heaven. I need somebody to save me. Next, you need to know, hey, you can't be saved by works. It's by faith. And you need to realize that faith is in the gospel. So you need to hear the gospel in order to trust in the gospel. So a good question is, when's the first time that you ever, that you remember in your life, that you've heard the gospel preached and you understood it? For me, it was when I was 18 years old. I've been in churches my entire life, Southern Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, Independent Baptist churches, Methodist, Episcopalian. My mom took me to all different kind of churches. My dad took me to the Indy Baps and all these different churches. And I never, I repeat, never, one time in my life, remember hearing the gospel preached. Now, I'm not saying they didn't preach it. Maybe I just happened to visit that week when they weren't preaching it. But I know personally in my life, I never heard the gospel until I was 18 years old. And when I heard that, it was like a light bulb went off in my head and I realized, why didn't someone tell me this? All my life I'm trying to do good works, hoping I can get to heaven. And I'm just sitting there living in doubt and just, oh, tearing my hair out. I don't want to go to hell. God, what? Why? How can I be saved? And God brought me the gospel. And when I saw that, it was like, what a relief. I don't have to do something to get to heaven. It's all been done for me. And all God asks is that I trust that gospel. And on July 29th, 1992, about 10 o'clock in the morning, sitting on the kitchen table here in the very house that I live in today, I trusted the gospel of Jesus Christ. I trusted the blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary. And that's the day I got saved. And guess what? I know I'm saved. Because it's not me. It's not what I do. It's not because some man told me that I'm saved. It's because the scriptures, the Bible, tells me this is how you're saved and this is how you know it. So I've tried today to tell you how to be saved and know it. I'd just like to give you a couple more verses. Some people say, well, that's not good enough. You know, I'm a Christian. I think I'm a Christian. I doubt it all the time. Well, are you? I'm going to give you a couple more verses that hopefully will help you so that you can make sure that you know that you're saved. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You know, there is a time in your life that you need to pin down as the day that you got saved. First, you had to realize you were lost. Then you had to realize, hey, it's not of works, it's by faith. And then you had to hear the gospel. So when did that take place in your life? What day? You say, well, I know it was in such and such a year. Okay, that's good. If you know for certain that you heard the gospel preached and you trusted it, you don't have to know the exact date. There was a day that it happened. But it's good if you know that. And I've talked to a lot of Christians, and a lot of them say, you know, I've never heard that preached before. You know, I was a little kid. My mom told me to repeat a prayer, and the rest of my life she said, well, you're saved because you did that. And I was trusting in what she told me. But there never was a day when I realized I was lost. I just did what mommy told me, repeat this prayer. Oh, I've heard people say, well, I've never realized that it's not what I do, it's what Jesus did. And I've never heard the gospel before. And you know what? A lot of those times, those people say, well, right now is when I realized I was lost and I just got saved. I get lots of emails from people saying, Brother Breaker, thank you for your videos because they helped me so much to realize all these years I've been trusting in what I did rather than what Jesus Christ did for me. And now I know that I'm saved, and I know the very day and the very hour when I got saved. So maybe in your life, you don't know. I'm not telling you you're saved or you're not. I'm not trying to make you doubt salvation. If you are saved, praise God. But if you doubt it, you got a problem. You see, doubt is the opposite of faith. And most of the time, from what I see, is the reason that people doubt if they're saved or not is because they wonder, well, did I do enough? Did I do enough? Did I do enough to be saved? Well, guess what? That's the wrong mentality. That shows you don't understand the gospel. Because the gospel is Jesus did it all. And we can never do enough, so we have to trust what He's done. So the people that wonder, well, I wonder if I'm saved, I wonder if I'm saved. The problem with them is, they're probably not. Now, I'm not saying they are or they're not. I'm just saying most likely. The problem is they've never been saved because they don't understand what it means to be saved. Because when you're saved, there should be no doubt. Why should there be no doubt? Because when you're saved, you realize it's not me. It's Him. And I can do nothing to earn it. I have to trust the gift, the free gift that he offers. The Bible tells us that the reason you can know you're saved is by reading the scriptures. There's some Christians that are living in sin. And because they're living in sin, they start to doubt, I wonder if I'm saved or not. Now, I can't tell you you are. I'm not going to tell you you're not. But I'll tell you one thing I know for sure. Most likely, you're not reading the Bible. We read it earlier, but let me read it again. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's 1 John 5:13. How do you know? By the things written in the scriptures. Are you reading the scriptures? You see, a lot of Christians, they do get saved, but then later in life, they, I wonder if I'm saved, because they're not reading the Bible. Well, the Bible's what tells us how to be saved. And the more we read it, the more we know. Yeah, it's true. It's true. So it's possible that a person could be saved and have a little doubt in their heart because they're living in sin. But they shouldn't. Now, most of the time when a person doubts their salvation, though, it's because they're not saved to begin with. Especially in this day and age when people are preaching so many different gospels. And because of that, we have problems. We have people that claim, well, I'm a Christian. You say, okay, tell me your testimony. And guess what? Their testimony doesn't line up with the Bible. My dad used to always ask people this one question, and I love this question. My dad used to say, now listen, if you were to die right now and stand eyeball to eyeball with Jesus Christ, and he were to say, why should I let you into heaven? How would you respond? And my dad said, by just asking someone that question and listening to how they respond, you can kind of get a glimpse into their heart to see what they're believing in or not. I've asked that question of a lot of people, and a lot of people say, well, I've been baptized, so I deserve to go to heaven. I'm sorry, you're lost. Because you're trusting in your water baptism, and you're not trusting in the gospel of what Jesus did for you. I've heard people say, well, I'm a good person. Uh-oh. What is that? Someone trusting in their works and thinking that they're good enough to get to heaven on their own. Other people say, well, you know, I was catechized and circumcised, and I did all these things as a kid, and I go to church and did all the rituals and got confirmed, and so I guess I deserve heaven because I've done all these things. Once again, you're trusting in what man told you to do rather than what the Bible says. Trust the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's a good question to ask people to try to get a glimpse into what they're trusting. The best way to answer that question, if God says, why should I let you into heaven, is just two words. The blood. That's the only way to get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. See, it's through what he did. See, the blood is what washes our sins away. We can't wash our sins away. We have to trust Christ. Trust his blood atonement. John 19:35. Another good verse about the record, about the scriptures. You see, we know that we're saved because the Bible tells us so. So John 19:35 says, and he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, that he knoweth that he saith true, that ye may believe. So we know the record. The Bible is a record. Go to John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these things are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through believing ye might have life through his name. So we believe because the Bible says it. I like what it says over here in Romans chapter 10. That's why it's so important to read the Bible. And like I said, you may be a Christian, but you might have some doubt in your heart. Well, it's probably because you're living in sin and you're not reading the scriptures. And if you want to know that you're saved, that knowledge comes from reading the Bible. The more you read it, the stronger you feel. Yep, I know I'm saved because God says so. But in Romans chapter 10, verses 15 through 17, it says, how shall they be sent? Or how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for as Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel. So before you can be saved, someone's got to preach the gospel to you. And then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you heard the gospel today. Has there been a time in your life when you've heard this preached before? If you say, yes, and I believed it, then good. You should know you're saved. Or maybe you say, well, no, I don't think I've ever heard that before. Well, why don't you get saved today? Now is the time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the report. The report is, All these men saw it and wrote it down that Jesus Christ died. He was God manifest in the flesh. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that salvation is only through that blood that He shed and trusting by faith in that shed blood. Now, here's something I want to show you. Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, we have something pretty amazing. In Isaiah 53, we have a prophecy of Jesus Christ before it even took place. And here it is, 700 years before Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah writes about what happens to Jesus. And you read of it, verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed." So we have a prophecy of Jesus before he even died, dying for our sins in our place, for our transgressions. Here it is in verse 6, "And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all." In verse 7, "He's a lamb to the slaughter." And so this whole passage of Isaiah 53 is the prophecy of Jesus. But to get down there to verse 11 and verse 12, this is what's so interesting about this prophecy. A lot of people like to preach from Isaiah 53, but very few preach the last two verses. And I don't know why, because it's so good. Because these last two verses show us how we can know that we're saved. Verse 11, "He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied." Now who's the he? Well, it's talking about God the Father in heaven looking down at God the Son on the cross. "And God the Father shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied." Be satisfied. Now, back it up there. Verse 10. I said verse 11 and 12. I meant verse 10 and 11. In verse 10, he says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." So two things that we find in this Old Testament prophecy. That God was pleased with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that God the Father was satisfied with what Jesus did. And he was pleased that this was the one sacrifice for all sins. And so God the Father said what the God the Son did, that sacrifice was enough, and I'm pleased with it. What does that mean? That means God the Father will never put into hell those that come to Him for salvation, because He accepts on their behalf the sacrifice of Jesus for all sins. And that God the Father is satisfied with what Jesus did as sufficient to take away, I like that word, sufficient to take away all sins. So if it was good enough for God the Father, that sacrifice of Jesus, is it good enough for you? You see, that's the problem. People say, well, you know, you can never know if you're saved or not. Oh, well, in that case, they're not pleased with what Jesus did, and they're not satisfied with what he did. So to them, what Jesus did isn't sufficient enough to take away all their sins, so their mentality is, nope, Jesus didn't do it all, I've got to do something to get to heaven. And they're lost. But when you're saved, you know you're saved because you're pleased with Jesus' sacrifice. It's sufficient. You view that as, that's it. That's for all my sins. And I'm saved based upon what Jesus has done for me. And then you know that you're saved because Jesus says so. Romans chapter 3. If you get a chance, go to the Cloud Church and look up past sermons. And there's my testimony. And I give my testimony of salvation. And I got saved on this verse here, Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. This is the verse I got saved reading. And I want to read verse 24 through 28. Romans chapter 3, starting there in verse 24. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." A person is justified or saved, given eternal life freely by God when they believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 25, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation." There's a word there, propitiation. What does that word propitiation mean? It literally means the act of appeasing wrath. Look at that word, appeasing. Well, that goes back to pleased. If somebody's pleased, they've been appeased. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross as our propitiation, as our substitute, His death, his sacrifice, appeased the wrath of Almighty God. And God was satisfied with that sacrifice. What does that mean? That means if you come to Jesus and trust Him as your Savior, you can never go to hell because Jesus paid for all of your sins. He took your hell on the cross for you. So no wrath can ever come upon a Christian because that wrath of God has been cast out on your sins at the cross. Whew, man, that's wonderful. So Jesus Christ died as your substitute. God's wrath on your sin has been appeased through Jesus Christ's shed blood. It was good enough for God. So the question is it good enough for you? Do you see the death, burial, and resurrection, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, as all sufficient? As all it takes to pay for your sins? Are you trusting in that alone for salvation? If so, then you know you're saved. Because you know He did it all. And that you trusting what He did, then you know that you're saved. You see, doubt comes by wondering, did I do enough? Did I do enough? Oh, I hope God accepts me because I hope I did enough. Well, you can never do enough. Jesus did everything. He did everything that could be done to take away your sins. Do you trust that? 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." A lot of people today say, "Well, I'm saved, but I just don't have assurance of salvation." Well, how do you get assured that you're saved? The scriptures are written. These things have I written that ye may know. The gospel here, it says, is preached unto you with much assurance. If you believe what the Bible says, then you have assurance of salvation. Then you know you're saved. The problem with many people is they don't know what the Bible says. They're not trusting in the scriptures. And so they're thinking, well, I can get to heaven based upon what I do. But if you read the Bible, you find out very quickly the Bible says what you do is filthy rags. It's nothing. It's the works of a sinner, and God will never accept a sinner. So you need something to take your sin away. And guess what? There it is. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, and oh boy, is this, I mean, in your face pretty clear. You can't deny this. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. "But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever," so there it is, all sins paid for once, right there. "After he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified." So if you're saved, that means you're sanctified. And you're perfected forever. That's eternal security. If you get a chance, go to Cloud Church. I've got a message entitled Eternal Security under past sermons. I also have one, Once Saved, Always Saved. The Bible teaches that once you trust the gospel, you're saved. You can't lose it. And you'll know you're saved because you know what it is to trust in to get salvation. And you'll know, I can never be good enough to get to heaven. That's why I'm trusting in the gospel, because it's all what Jesus did to save me. Oh, it's so great to be saved and to know that you're on your way to heaven. Well, let's finish with 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The only way you can know you're saved is by believing what the Bible says. And so I've done the best I could today to show you exactly what the Bible says about salvation. And I forgot to give you a verse. Let me go back to it, and then we'll come to 1 Timothy. Ephesians 1:13 tells us what happens when you believe. It says in Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." So see the order there? You cannot be saved until you first hear the gospel. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So when you hear the gospel and you believe that, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. A lot of people are living over here and they've never heard the gospel. And they think, well, I'm a good person. There's a lot of people I've known that say, well, ever since I was born, I've tried to live right and do right. They've never even realized that they were lost. And they've never heard the gospel. Well, how do you get saved and know you're saved? First, realize you're lost. Know that salvation isn't by works. Hear the gospel, and then you're saved, if you believe it. I'm going to close with 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 9 through 12. "Knowing this," well, that's what this whole message is about, how to know you're saved. If you want to be saved, you have to know you're saved. How do you know? Well, it says here, knowing this, I'm in 1 Timothy. Let me go over to 2 Timothy. My bad. And now, in 2 Timothy 1:9, the Bible says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. See, you're not saved by your works. All I can do is tell you what the Bible says. Because these things are written that you may know you have eternal life. You can't know if you're thinking, well, my works saved me. The only way to know you're saved is by going to the Bible, the Scriptures. And faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith in what? Faith in the gospel to be saved. Who hath called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I have suffered these things. Nevertheless, now watch what he says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul says, I know that I'm saved. The question is, do you know that you're saved? I tried to show you today how to know. The way to know you're saved is to believe what the Bible says. Is God a liar? Well, matter of fact, there's a verse in the Bible that says, let God be true, but every man a liar. There's another verse that says, God which cannot lie. So it's either true or it's a lie. If God's a liar, then you can never know you're saved. But if He's not a liar, then guess what? You can know you're saved. And the way you know you're saved is by trusting what God wrote, the report, the Scriptures. And God wrote, you trust this gospel, you trust this shed blood, for I dying in your place, then you're saved, and you'll know it. So I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded? I hope so. I hope this has helped you to see how to be saved. If you're not saved, it's so simple to be saved. You simply trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ. People say, but you got to repent. Well, repent means to turn from one thing to another. And it means to feel sorry for something. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel sorry that you killed Jesus Christ? Because basically that's what He did. He died in your place for your sins. So you're guilty of His death. Do you feel bad about that? Well, if you feel bad, then you're repenting. You're feeling bad. Now, if you trust that, and you were before trusting in your works, then guess what? You've repented. You've turned from trusting in what you did to trust what Jesus did. You've actually turned from going to hell, trusting in what you do, if you trust Jesus, going to heaven. So there's a turning there. A lot of people get confused by the word repentance. Repent, they don't understand what it means. Well, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust in the gospel, in whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So salvation is by trusting the gospel. Do you trust the gospel? Do you trust Jesus Christ and what He's done as sufficient? Are you pleased with that sacrifice? Are you glad that it's done on your behalf? And do you accept it? Or do you still think, nope, I don't want anything to do with that. I think I'm good enough to get to heaven. You can either choose to accept Jesus Christ or reject Jesus Christ. And the way you accept Him is by trusting the gospel. But know this, to not accept the gospel, to not trust, is to reject Jesus Christ. And if you reject what He's done for you, He will reject you. I hope this has been a help to you as I tried as quickly and briefly as possible to show how to know you're saved. And the only way to know is through the Scriptures. And I'll close with 1 John 5:13 one last time. These things have I written unto you. What are these things? The Scriptures, the Bible. The Bible tells us how to be saved. That believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you know that you're saved? I hope so.